Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We will get in just a minute to John Gray and Barbara Annis. You at least know John Gray's name because he wrote one of the best-selling books of the last 25 years, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And with Barbara Annis, they have now teamed up to talk about gender equality and gender communication in the workplace with a fascinating joint new book. But before we get to that, I want to thank Anna Sale for filling in for me yesterday on day one of our spring membership drive. I mentioned this about an hour ago, but I want to say it as we begin this hour too, because normally I wouldn't miss a pledge drive day. I definitely have a responsibility to be here on these occasions. But the oldest person in my family died on Monday and was buried yesterday. My 98-year-old Uncle Sam Lehrer, who some of you remember was a guest on the show a few years ago when they launched StoryCorps. David Isay asked me to interview one member of my family to model a StoryCorps interview. And I chose Uncle Sam because he had so many interesting stories to tell about being political in the 1930s and all this other stuff. I would call him the patriarch of the family, except he didn't believe in patriarchy. So we took a day to honor my late Uncle Sam, and that's why I had to miss the first day of our spring membership drive yesterday. And maybe we'll replay some of that interview because you will like it, as well as to honor it a little bit later in the week. But I want to thank Anna Sale again for filling in yesterday. And so today we need to make up for a little bit of lost time. So if you're a regular listener, I hope you will call up right now or log in with your pledge. 1-888-376-WNYC is our phone number, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. Thanks for considering it. We'll talk about it later in the hour, but I just wanted to mention that before we get going with Barbara Annis and John Gray. Also, check out the special deal that we have today, too, on the Eton Crank Radio and Flashlight as a thank you gift. When you call 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. Thanks again to Anna. Thanks again to you for putting up with my absence yesterday and for considering membership today. So in our studio now, one of the best-selling authors of all time and his new co-author. In 1992, John Gray came out with Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, his guide to improving communication between the sexes. He is now teamed up with Barbara Annis, chair emeritus of the Women's Leadership Board at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. Together, they have written a guide to improving gender relations at work called Work With Me. So John Gray, Barbara Annis, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And thank you.
And before we dive into the current material, John, I think as many copies of Men Are From Mars has sold, I think many people who haven't read it actually have a misconception that the book is about some kind of unbridgeable differences between men and women. Like, oh, we are just so different. We're from different planets. Forget about ever really getting through to one another. But the whole point was exactly the opposite, wasn't it?
I appreciate you saying that. Absolutely so. It's like, you know, we have these common places where we misinterpret each other, misunderstand each other. So I'm trying to give us a positive way to understand each other, where those common misunderstandings take place. As a marriage counselor, that's what I saw again and again. And what Barbara sees in the workplace is the same thing. And so we teamed up to talk about gender intelligence in the workplace. If we can increase it, it's not saying that men are better than women or women are better than men. It's not about that at all. It's about hearing the complaints that we have and understanding them in a new light.
Which is why you get hired by businesses and international organizations and all kinds of places to coach and to train coaches on improving gender relations, not to say everybody's so different we can't understand each other. And Barbara, you've been doing similar work for many years on what you call gender intelligence. So I'm curious how you were influenced by John. Did he have a fundamental insight that influenced your work?
Interesting. So my insight was really around the science of gender differences, where I really had my aha moment. And about 2 years ago, I teamed up with John. because what I heard in the workplace were similar things, similar themes that men and women talk about in their personal relationship. It's fascinating. So it's not as if we have two heads. You know, we have one in the workplace and one at home. We kind of have one head. And this book actually addresses both the business and the personal side of it. So that's kind of the win-win that we brought to this.
So rather than just go down a list of workplace problems and solutions from the book, and we will, of course, get to some of them, I want to try to do this in an experiential way. So let's open up the phones right now for men and women. Call in and tell us what gives you satisfaction at work. We're going to enter the conversation like that. 212-433-WNYC. Will some of you do this? This is our on-air line, not our pledge line. We'll never ask you for donations on the air. Our on-air number, 212-433-9692. Men and women, call in and tell us what gives you satisfaction at work. Now, there's no right or wrong answer. We just want to get some descriptive language here about what gives you satisfaction at work, and we'll jump off from there for a deeper conversation about gender in the workplace. 212-433-WNYC. Men and women, call in and tell us what gives you satisfaction at work. 212-433-9692. No right or wrong answer. We just want to hear what some people say about what gives you satisfaction. So while calls are coming in, part of your starting point, Barbara, is that women are not as satisfied at work in general as men. Do you see that as coming somewhat from gender blind spots?
Definitely. And, you know, men and women value different things at work, and we're going to talk about that in a deeper way. But the kind of the high level of that is that there's a common assumption that women have the top challenge is that women have greater work-life balance issues. And what we actually – every time we do research with organization, we find that that's actually not the number one challenge. The number one challenge is that women don't feel valued in the workplace.
And so you're right, John, that men's blind spots in general are from not being aware of how their behavior in these male-oriented workplaces affect women. And women's blind spots tend to be assuming men's actions are intentional. Can you give me an example of each?
Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge you for summarizing the whole book in two sentences. Well done. Okay, so
I try to read before I speak. So.
You certainly have. An example of that might be we're in a business meeting, we're talking, and there's three guys and two women. And the guys are like almost playing basketball, taking the ball from each other, throwing their ideas around. And maybe one of the women is joining out and two women are not talking. Those two women are thinking, why aren't they including me in this conversation? Doesn't anybody want to know what I'm thinking? And the men are thinking they must not have something to say, and that's why they're not speaking up. Because if there's a man who's not speaking in the room, we don't want to embarrass him by pointing out he has nothing to say. So I'm not going to say, hey, Bob, don't you have something to say today? You never talk. We're not going to. So we're actually thinking we're being inclusive by not embarrassing him. But the woman is often feeling like, why doesn't anyone want to ask what I think? Mm. And sometimes a woman will even say, she'll raise her hand and say, can I say something? And men are a little bewildered, thinking, well, of course you could say something. Are there rules that say you can't?
So how do you get beyond this, Barbara?
The other thing that I just want to add to that, please. And then I'll answer your question, a topic of conversation. So men bond in certain topics of conversation. It could be sports. It could be, you know, facts, logic, et cetera. And women don't feel part of that conversation, don't feel included in that conversation. That's another part of not feeling valued.
Women bond through what?
Women bond through connection, relationship, right? So if you're sitting and having a sports conversation about the latest game last night and women don't have any relationship to that, they don't feel that connection, right? And sometimes women will walk into a boardroom and men will have a casual conversation and they'll stop the conversation completely because thinking
the
man. That, yeah, exactly, thinking, well, she won't be interested in this conversation, right? So that's another point of women feeling sort of not quite part of the team.
All right. We have some calls coming in on the question, how do you derive satisfaction at work? What gives you great satisfaction in your professional life? Teresa in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling up.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I work for a notable pediatric nephrologist. He has created a workforce and a team that is valued, is heard. He's kind and compassionate, and it's a pleasure to work for him and do the work that he needs to have done to take care of his patients.
So it's the mission of the work?
Yes. No, I think, yes, it is. But he's also taken the time to hear us, to listen to us, to take our recommendations. And he values us and he respects us. But mostly he takes the time to listen. I think that's what makes the difference.
Teresa, thank you so much for that. Hang on to that thought. I see our guests reacting very strongly with their faces. But let me go through some of these other callers. But hang on to that thought. Pete in Summit. Hi, Pete.
Hi, good morning. I have a fairly atypical job. I'm in the wine business, and what gives me satisfaction is just the fact that I'm a relatively small operation, but I can do problem solving, logistics issues and things like that for my customers. And basically, I compete against, fairly young, good-looking, mostly females who go around, to do the door-to-door selling in the various establishments. But this is one thing that I can do as a middle-aged, overweight white guy without, feeling that I'm behind the eight ball.
Pete, thank you very much. All right, John, you're smiling broadly. I think just in those two phone calls, we've validated some of the findings in your surveys.
Right. The woman who spoke up first was talking about all the qualities we describe as what makes the workplace a positive experience for women. She emphasized certainly they had a purpose, a mission that's important to women, but also she feels she's part of a team. She feels heard. He takes the time to listen. Therefore, she feels valued. She contributes. Her words feel she's contributing to the process. And the man, on the other hand, I know Barbara has a lot to say, but the man is talking about problem solving. And this is one of the big differences. Men want to feel that I have the freedom to solve problems, to get it done, to do. And this is, what creates satisfaction for men.
And he used the word compete.
Exact, compete, beautiful. And what Teresa actually really described is what women value the most, and that is the journey. And men tend to value the destination. So how am I experiencing work every day, relating and being heard and listened to? That is the number. Women will move mountains if they're valued in that way. The loyalty factor will go through the roof. And, of course, you heard the gentleman talking about more about the destination and not being behind the eight ball and getting it done and getting great satisfaction out of that.
So, John, you were going to put another question on the table for our next round of calls. You want to do that? And then we'll take a break, and we'll do that next round and really talk about how smart workplaces can put all this together for, the best stuff that they can do and also for the satisfaction of all their workers.
Well, we're thinking of one of the chapters, one of the blind spots is, do women feel excluded? And we might bring that forth as a question, which is for women, what makes them feel left out or excluded in the workplace and are not valued?
Okay, so that's a question for women. What makes you feel left out or excluded in the workplace? 212-433-WNYC. Is there a male corollary to this question? Like, what do you think that women don't get that's making them wrongly feel excluded?
So the next question, do men feel they have to be more careful in giving sensitive feedback to women?
All right. Men, do you feel you're walking on eggshells in your workplace, gender eggshells? Women, what makes you feel excluded in the workplace? We'll take your calls 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. When we continue with John Gray and Barbara Annis, co-authors of Work With Me. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC and back in our studio now, one of the best-selling authors of all time and his new co-author. In 1992, John Gray came out with Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, his guide to improving communication between the sexes. He has now teamed up with Barbara Annis, Chair Emeritus of the Women's Leadership Board at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. Together, they have written a guide to improving gender relations at work called Work With Me. thanks for coming back in after that pledge break. And let's go right to a caller who I think has something important to say, and that's Donald in Fishkill. Hi, Donald. Thank you for calling in. You're on WNYC.
Thank you. And I was a shoplifter for years, but now I've become a sustaining member. So
thanks.
But I'm writing a book, I don't know if I'll ever complete it, called Everybody's in the Act. And my experience as a manager and an executive in a very competitive business, the automobile business, I worked for the corporation, General Motors and some others. I have an asexist view of management, and women were always included in all my meetings. They were asked their opinion. My secretaries all became administrative assistants. They were given assignments, and I always got tremendous results from that. My staff, however, guys, you know, they had a hard time, most of them, buying that perception of a female worker.
Was it just the inclusion and being able to see a female worker as easy, as equal to them, or was it something about how you ran the company?
No, I think a little bit of both. I think that I would have a staff meeting, and we'd be talking about maybe overstocked with some of our dealers in a certain model, and I would ask them their question. Yeah. And my, of course, my staff people would look at me like I was crazy. What do they know about the car business? Well, out of intelligence and or experience, why can't they make a contribution to a conversation about one of the things that we're trying to accomplish?
Right. And so you felt that you treated men and women the same?
Just about. When it came to some personal things, or, you know, the guys get in at the bar with the cigars and the scotch, you know, maybe it was different. But in the office, mm-hmm. I never felt that. I always felt that the people, the women who worked for me, made tremendous contributions, and they were given the confidence to do so mm-hmm. because they knew that they were included in the general operation of that office.
Donald, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Barbara, this sense that we talked about before the break that women often have that they feel excluded.
Right.
Was Donald putting his finger on how, and that was to make sure to ask the women in the room, right, what they thought about things, or is it also much more complicated than that?
Well, there were two things that I picked up on what Donald said. One was that sense of really including women, and the fact that women bring richer, different perspectives that can actually contribute to the decision-making or problem-solving. That was one. Second, he talked about his managers or men below him not being comfortable with women. And there are industries still today where men aren't as comfortable working with women. I mean, they're very, very comfortable working with men. And this also goes back in really giving women more sensitive feedback. It's a big challenge for men.
So we're going to renew the question that we started to put on the table before and take some more calls on the question, women, what makes you feel excluded at work? Because this book documents that that's women's main complaint in the workplace. They don't feel included. Donald was just telling a story of, as an executive, at least trying to include women. Women, have you had the experience of feeling excluded at work, and what makes you feel excluded? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And for men, the corollary question was, do you feel like you're walking on eggshells at work when you're interacting with women, and what makes you feel like that? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. John, another thing about Donald's call struck me, having read your book, and that is he said he treated men and women the same, by and large.
Yeah, I picked up on that big time.
I think one of your themes is that men think they're treating people the same, but women experience treating them as differently.
That's correct. And when he said, I'm treating her the same, he's basically saying, I'm giving them equal respect and equal opportunity. And that's what we're all for. But quite often, men think that they're just treating women the same, but women interpret it differently. You could have a banter with a guy, make jokes about something or make little put downs, or that's ridiculous, why would you think that? And we do it in kind of a playful way. And a man will take it in a playful way, might banter back, where a woman will often internalize it and take it much deeper and create a sense of feeling left out, not appreciated, not valued. And men don't realize some of those sensitive spots that women have, which are different from men's. the result of that is then women sometimes respond in unpredictable ways from a man's point of view. And then because he doesn't understand what he said or did or how that the consequences of his words, he feels like, I can't talk to her. And he's really almost trying to protect her in some level. But on her level, she feels left out.
Here is Beth in northern New Jersey, who might have had the ultimately challenging workplace for a woman in gender terms. Hi, Beth. You're on WNYC.
Hi. I love your show.
Thank you. Where did you work?
I'll be a little vague. I worked for a team in the NFL, and they tried. I mean, they really tried to make it a comfortable scenario, but just the nature of the environment made it impossible for me to stay.
Can you give an example without, you know, you don't want to insult your past coworkers,
right.
It sounds like, but what can you give me an example of something that happened in the workplace that made it impossible for you to stay?
I can't give you a specific example except for sometimes you just can't change scenarios, and we are who we are as women, and men are who they are. And I think I came to realize that there was nothing that could ever be done except for to change my situation.
At least at the workplace that was an NFL team. All right, let's go on. Go ahead. What do you want to say,
Beth? We have a lot to say about that.
Yeah,
go ahead, Barbara.
So, Beth, thank you for phoning in with this, because it's a really important factor that you talk. So what you're talking about is a culture, and a culture that was created by men, and in that particular area of business, alpha men, you know, high testosterone men. And they get very, very – it's a very different place. And women often just don't feel that they can belong to that culture unless they take on extreme male behavior. We call it the third sex, you know, where women become one of the boys, right? But this culture phenomenon, by the way, exists in technology companies. I mean, it exists in many, many companies, even new young companies. You know, I do a lot of work in Silicon Valley, and you'll be amazed at how much there is the similar culture that Beth was describing. So, and it's a water torture syndrome, you know, so she's experiencing many, many, many scenarios over time where she then says, you know what, I can't work here.
And I don't know if this came up for Beth, but one interesting difference you write about in the book is that men tend not to raise issues in meetings that could derail an agenda or delay a decision. Women tend to ask more questions.
Yep.
In what kinds of situations do you see that difference emerge?
Well, that's a really big one. There's a commercial right now on TV with little kids in kindergarten, and the guy says, what's better, fast or slow? And all the kids go, fast, fast. You know, this is the tortoise and the hare story. And often men feel that because women want to create a sense of conversation, a discovery, consensus, collaboration, because women are wanting that and see the benefit of that, men don't have that perception as much. A man starts to feel like she's slowing us down. We need to take action. We need to get in there and do it right away. And that really has a lot of that comes from just biology. Men have 30 times more testosterone than the average woman. And the main function of testosterone is not aggression. It's faster reaction time. So men want to just jump in there. Let's stop the talk and let's get it done. And so they often see women as an obstacle rather than what we say is increased gender intelligence, to recognize the value of talking about it, the value of bringing team members together, the value of diversity and finding a better solution to problems.
Catherine in Sleepy Hollow, you're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I'm calling about experiences that I've had some time ago in my work. I'm retired now. But at one point, a new department head was hired for our section, and first thing he did was not include women in the department meetings, the editorial meetings. And then later I asked a colleague, a man, I said, how do you get a proposal for a new project across? And he said, well, you know, I meet him in the men's room.
Nice. So hopefully those are kind of outdated work styles. But have you heard that kind of story a million times?
Yeah. I mean, so that's part of that feeling excluded and not being part of the team. Women often say, I'm not part of the real meeting after the meeting. Now, I don't think it happens in the men's room anymore. But it does happen, you know, after the meeting where men will have the conversation or the connection or pre-meeting, you know, where they'll socialize, you know, a problem, et cetera, and make sure there's alignment before going into the meeting.
We're going to run out of time in a minute. Barbara, yep. I noticed that in addition to working with John Gray, I see you recently announced a collaboration with Facebook executive Sheryl Sandberg's much-discussed LeanIn.org to help women professionals fight the glass ceiling and rise in their careers. What are you doing specifically with Lean In, and what do you say to the criticism that they sometimes get for seeming to put all the onus on women to function effectively in a man's professional world rather than working to change the rules?
So that's exactly why I leaned in with Sheryl Sandberg, because that was the problem. And that's what we've done. We put the onus on women to fix the women's problem. And I really see that this is about leaning in both men and women. So phase two of Lean In is really about including men and making sure that they participate in this and learn together, because there's equal learning for both men and women here. And we both have blind spots about each other.
All right.
And what I see is that when men hear this, they're very open to it. They're kind of like, really? That's what women are thinking? Really? That's what's going on? That's what we call them blind spots. It's just learning to communicate these differences in a way where nobody feels blamed or attacked, like it's all their fault.
The book is called Work With Me, John Gray, who you know from Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and Barbara Annis, Chair Emeritus of the Women's Leadership Board at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. Really interesting with our callers. Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us.